The Progressivism of the Future is Really Just the Socialism of the Past, by Anthony P. Mueller, an audio Mises Wire narrated by Michael Stack. The world is currently in the midst of a newly aggressive drive to bring about a new socialist order through a powerful and efficient technocratic state. This new order has been labeled as progressive, but it is merely the latest version of the socialist impulse which we have seen before in the form of socialism and communism. Summed up in a single sentence, the plans of the communists aim at the abolition of private property. From there, the other major demands follow, such as abolishing the family, nation, and countries. And finally, as Marx noted, communism abolishes eternal truths. It abolishes all religion and all morality. Inasmuch as the program of liberalism, quote, if condensed into a single word, is private ownership of the means of production, end quote, as described by Ludwig von Mises in his book Liberalism, the program of the communists is the abolition of private property. Yet Marxian socialism, that is, communism, has not found many followers in the United States. The communist appeal to justice and equality found more resonance in the old world. To have an appeal to the Americans, socialism had to be packaged differently. In the United States, the gospel of socialism appeared under the name of progressivism and was preached as bringing society to the highest degree of efficiency. Under President Woodrow Wilson, progressivism attained its first peak as the dominant philosophy of the state. Society was, to these socialists, a single organization. The bureaucrats, as public administrators, found a vivid expression in the political novel Philip Drew, Administrator, A Story of Tomorrow, by Edward Mandel House, who was a very close friend of Wilson and who served as the president's most important political and diplomatic advisor. This vision of progressivism requires, first, government and labor representation on the board of every corporation. Second, sharing the profits of public service companies. Third, government ownership of the means of communication. Fourth, government ownership of the means of transportation. Fifth, a comprehensive system of old age pension. Sixth, government ownership of all health care. And finally, full labor protection and governmental arbitration of industrial disputes. Beyond that, other demands and programs put forth and realized by the progressive movement have included eugenics, population and birth control, family planning, prohibition, antitrust legislation, public education, central banking, and an income tax. These echo of the planks of the Communist Manifesto, which included demands to centralize the means of communications and to put the means of transport in the hands of the state, to extend the control of the state across factories and over all land, to implement a heavy progressive income tax and abolish the rights of inheritance, and to centralize credit in the hands of the state and establish a central bank of an exclusive monetary monopoly. Unlike the Communist Manifesto, the progressives did not preach a proletarian revolution, but spoke out in the name of efficiency and demanded the bureaucratic rule of expert public administrators. In a specific way, the progressive movement presents an even worse program than Marxism. As Murray Rothbard summarized it in his book The Progressive Era, the progressive movement brought about a profound transformation of American society, quote, from a roughly free and laissez-faire society of the 19th century, when the economy was free, taxes were low, persons were free in their daily lives, and the government was non-interventionist at home and abroad, the new coalition managed in a short time to transform America into a welfare, warfare, imperial state where people's daily lives were controlled and regulated to a massive degree, end quote. Guiding mankind to heaven on earth by transforming society is the quintessential message of socialism, beginning with the utopian socialism of the 19th century and leading up to our time with the demand for a concrete utopia. Yet different from Marxist mythology, that socialism would be unstoppable successor of capitalism. History shows that the socialist phenomenon has appeared time and again throughout history. Instead of being the model of the future, socialism is, de facto, a failed idea of the past. Socialism is the attempt to create a new social order at will. Yet one cannot construct order to one's wishes. The volitional realization of a socioeconomic system results in establishing society as a single, state-dominated organization, and as such, it is necessarily hierarchical and must be based on command and obedience instead of the free association of the people, as it happens with the spontaneous order. President Wilson failed in his plan to bring the United States into the League of Nations and establish an organization to promote a new world order in tune with the visions of the progressives. For some time, the Americans resumed the tradition of individualism and isolationism. Yet with the Great Depression and World War II, the chance of transforming the society and putting bureaucratic experts at the top came back with a vengeance under the presidency of Franklin Delano Roosevelt. With the end of the World War returned the chance to establish a network of international organizations with the mission of organizing society and the economy under the auspices of bureaucratic experts. This happened with the founding of the United Nations and its several subgroups and sister organizations to become active in finance, education, development, and health. With the launch of the United Nations, progressivism as a program of what James Ostrowski calls destroying America has attained a global platform. The main seat of this philosophy has moved into the headquarters of the United Nations organizations. From its start, the United Nations has been the light-bearer of global progressivism. The protection of the environment and global health proved to be the ideal pretexts to move forward the agenda of progressivism. In June 1994, the UN Agenda 2021 was initiated by the United Nations Conference on Environment and Development in Rio de Janeiro and called for the imposition of sustainable development on a global scale. While Agenda 2021 was still relatively modest in its demands and non-binding as to its full execution, the later Agenda 2030 let the cat out of the bag. The new agenda was adopted when the heads of state and government and high representatives met at the United Nations headquarters in New York in September 2015. At this meeting, they approved the adoption of Global Sustainable Development Goals, about comprehensive and far-reaching universal and transformative goals and targets. The new agenda describes a program of comprehensive government takeover of almost all aspects of personal life. With no nods to human freedom and market coordination, the document lists 17 goals that should be met through a bureaucratic takeover of society on a worldwide scale. Behind popular promises such as the end of poverty and hunger, healthy lives, equitable education, and gender equality lurks the agenda to impose global socialism. Demands such as the reduction of income inequality within and among countries, sustainable consumption and production patterns, and building inclusive societies for sustainable development are parts of an overriding plan to do away with the market economy and to impose comprehensive state planning. Claiming the, quote, perpetuation of disparities between and within nations, a worsening of the poverty, hunger, ill health, and illiteracy, and the continuing deterioration of the ecosystems on which we depend for our well-being, the conference calls of a global partnership for sustainable development, end quote. Under the heading of Program Areas, the agenda stresses the links between demographic trends and factors and sustainable development. The growth of the world population combined with unsustainable consumption patterns endangers the planet as they affect the use of land, water, air, energy, and other resources. Under 5.17 of its objective, the conference demands, quote, full integration of population concerns into national planning, policy, and decision-making processes, end quote. Protecting the environment requires the comprehensive regulation of the world population, which in turn makes it necessary to control personal behavior. In short, the adoption of this New World Order would mean the abolition of private property, or what Mises regarded as the liberal program, a world based on private property. If enacted, this project will fail in the end, but it will bring immense suffering in the meantime. For more content like this, visit Mises.org.